This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I don't know. I mean, it's been great ever since I come over here. I mean, right now I don't have anything, so can't really give you anything, so but I mean, it's been great ever since I've been over here. Everyone's been super nice and helpful and everything, and hospitality's been great, and obviously you guys can walk around this facility. It's really nice. So I don't know, I'm just here to play some baseball and see what happens after that.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right, hour number two with you all the way until 9 o'clock this evening. The Bulls will be back on the court. In fact, a home finale tomorrow night against the Wizards. Cubs will be right here on The Score tomorrow evening, matching up against the Dodgers again. That clip, my goodness, that clip is really something. And I will encourage you, I'll reset our NFL topic as well, but I will encourage you, give me a contract that you think Kyle Tucker would consider, and here's the tough part, ones that you think would be a good deal for the Cubs as well. I think we all know realistically what we think Tom Ricketts will do in this situation, but give me one that you think would be favorable for the team and one that would actually make Kyle Tucker's agents call him and say, hey, we should talk about this potential offer. 312-644-6767. Call or text at that number. That clip from Tucker. And by the way, I don't blame him at all. First of all, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he loves the attention. I don't think he loves talking to the media. I think he is a baseball player, right? He shows up, puts in his work, probably goes home and plays some video games or does whatever, right? Like, he's just a ball player. I like that about him. It felt a little bit to me, you know, sometimes the relationship analogies get played out, but it felt a little bit like to me that he was asked in front of a girlfriend that he's not that serious about, so when do you plan on proposing? it's like, really, dude? He gave the I'm just a ball player.
Like, I mean, we've been dating for like a month. It seems like kind of yeah. Quick.
So, Kyle, you two look happy together. When are you thinking about popping the question? It's like, oh my god, you asked that question, and you can't really expect him to give this perfect answer. That's going to make everyone happy. So, what is the contract that he may not hit free agency that you think would be legitimate? Now, I think he's gone free agency-wise. I think they're going to have to win a bidding war, but I do have some numbers that I'll lay out for you in just a few minutes. By the way, really looking forward to talking to Mike Farian, SiriusXM. We will talk Cubs and Sox with him, with MLB Radio and ESPN as well. That's coming up at 7:25. Just to reset our NFL topic as well, because the draft is 2 weeks away. You know, Super Bowl ends, we get heavy into free agency, you start going all into the mock drafts, and there's a little bit of an exhaustion time from it, and then you get close, and it starts ratcheting it up. We're at that close time. 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Bears are the only team in the NFL that have three picks in the top 50. What I've asked you tonight, what do you hope the Bears do? What do you ultimately hope they don't do? Is there something where you're like, non-starter for me? Like, would you freak out if they went the running back at number 10? Would you freak out if they traded up? Would you have a problem if they went tight end at number 10 because you don't think it's a valued position up to use on a first-round pick? What I have said tonight is what I want, what I hope for, is that this is a Ben Johnson shopping spree on those first three picks. Invest in your investment. Yes, we hope Ben is a great leader of men and can handle being a head coach and all of that stuff. Ben Johnson was brought here to change the identity of the organization. Lean into that. Invest in your investment. Give the man the first three picks because you've got two picks in the second round. Legitimately, those three could and should be immediate impact starters. If Ben Johnson wants to go tackle, 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 let the man do it. If he wants to go running back, wide receiver, guard, so be it. But lean into a self-made offensive mind that has been really the best in the last 3 years. Better than Kyle Shanahan, better than Sean McVay, better than Kevin O'Connell. Let Ben Johnson cook. Make that t-shirt for me, Robbie. God, that's a good jingle. It's just a really good jingle, you know? 312-644-6767. I was supposed to go to the game on Wednesday, the Cubs game. Let me apologize to my buddy Matt now, because I had to cancel on him, right? I have a four-year-old son. My son will be five in about a week and a half, and I have a two-year-old daughter. My wife was out of town for work. All right. My wife was in Denver Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. So dad is doing it all. And things are going good, right? Things are going fine. I'd like to think of myself as a very competent parent. Tuesday night, my sweet little two-year-old, she's not always sweet, but at this moment she was. She rolled up on me and she said, "Dad, I need to throw up." And you know, sometimes kids just say stuff, right? But then she started to tremble and those eyes got watery. And we rushed over to the toilet, and she let it fly. She let it fly. Now, if you're a parent, you know this can go two ways. It's a one-timer. This is a puke and rally, and you get back to life, and things are good. Or buckle up. Buckle up, because you're about to go on a 24 to 36-hour ride. Well, we didn't sleep much that night, the two of us. And so I did not make it to the Cubs game. I had the tickets. My friend Matt said, "I'm good. I think I'll pass." Why? Because it was 41 degrees, rainy, and windy. And that's what this series, this last series, has been. And Monday night was colder than the Winter Classic. That's the hockey game. 38 degrees was the Winter Classic. 34 degrees at the start. And I watched that game, and I thought, damn it, that is a ballsy performance by Justin Steele. Like that is an ace kind of performance where the Rangers had no interest in being there and the Cubs were like, we'll score every inning. Like we will grind out at bats. It's one thing I love about this team so far, because you just don't know. They were really good in April last year, but they grind out at bats. But Justin Steele, elbow tendonitis, hits the IL for 15 days. This is what he said about it.
"I was going through my start the other day. I was talking to Tommy and counts throughout the start and stuff. I was like, you know, arms starting to tighten up on me a little bit. I was at the fourth, fifth inning. Was just doing stuff in between innings to keep it warm, moving around and stuff. Told him the next day, you know, the trainers and stuff, I want to come in, do a lot of recovery stuff, you know, red light, do everything I can to get the recovery process underway. They asked how it was doing. I was like, it's, you know, kind of sore, kind of tight. And then, they just made the decision to go ahead and put me on the IL."
Should I make it a 35 degree rule or 40 degree rule? I'm going to make it a 40 degree rule. I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to stamp this. You will not hear a single complaint from me if a team decides we will go Johnny Holstaff if it is in the 30s instead of running a starting pitcher out there. Here's why. If you go Johnny Holstaff, which means it's a bullpen game, you get hot, you go pitch your inning, you shut it down. The problem with pitching as well as Justin Steele did on that cold of a night, and that's not even the real feels. Like, we all know the real feels where it kind of cuts through the skin and into the bones. The problem is you get hot, then you get cold, especially with how well the Cubs' offense was. Then you get hot again, and then you get cold. But when you get cold, you get really cold because it's so cold outside. So there absolutely has to be some sort of attachment to playing in that kind of weather and dealing with arm injuries. We have to hope for now that Justin Steele rests, misses a start or two, and is back and is ready to go. But legitimately, they should consider just going Johnny Holstaff and running through your bullpen. If there's ever a time you wanted to keep an arm fresh in April for a long season, you would not hear one complaint out of me for them saying, you know what, bullpen game. Let's just do the bullpen game. GM Carter Hawkins, great interview this morning with Mully and Haw. This is what he said about how concerned the Cubs are about Justin Steele.
I mean, there's always concern when you're dealing with injuries with any player, especially somebody as talented as Justin. But, you know, right now, all we got to do is figure out exactly what's going on in there and then, you know, adjust as necessary. But, you know, this is something that almost every team is dealing with. And, you know, we certainly, you know, built up our starting pitching depth to be able to withstand things like this. And you got guys like Wicks, Colin Ray, obviously Javier Saad is going to be coming off the IL here, you know, not imminently, but, you know, soon, hopefully this month. And, you know, then you got other guys in the minor leagues, your Cade Hortons of the world. And then, right, you know, there's somebody that no one's thinking about that's going to be helping us out over the course of this year. So I think the answer is all of those guys are going to be part of the answer. And, you know, with winning teams that go long into the season and into the offseason, they have to have a lot of answers.
Good stuff there from Carter Hawkins about what may be next. Hopefully what is next is that Justin Steele is back by early May. And a lot of you out there, your favorite Cub may be Kyle Tucker. You know who my favorite Cub is? And I've said this last year. It's Javier Saad. Let's get Javier Saad back. Javier is like, you need. What are you laughing at?
Out of all the Cubs.
Yes.
Javier Saad.
Javier is like, you need me to be a starting pitcher? Cool, no problem. I'll show up and I'll ball out. You need to be a middle reliever? That's fine, no problem. You want me to go down to AAA and get ready, and whenever you need me, I'll come back up and I'll pitch? Fine, no problem. You want me to close out games like he did for Mexico in the World Baseball Classic at 97 miles per hour? Yeah, that's no problem. I'll do that. I think Javier Saad is one of the biggest gamers in that organization. Doesn't really hurt this excitement of mine for Javier when he's hurt. But it doesn't surprise me that Carter Hawkins is like, we're good. We got the ass man. Let's rock. Give me Javier Saad.
See, first of all, the ass man, that's funny as well. But I thought you were going to say like a Nico Horner, like someone who's not at the Kyle Tucker level, but like is a good, solid young player. But Javier Saad, I would have never pictured that in 1,000 years.
Got to get to know me, man. I'm like an independent film guy. You're like, what are you talking about? Who would say that? Me.
I don't like The Godfather, you know. I like right. Would have won the Sundance like 3 years ago that no one saw.
No, I love that Javier Saad got a legitimate mention to somewhat saving the day until Justin Steele returns. Go and see the innings that Saad gave last year when the Cubs really needed him at times. He is a gamer. This Cubs team is somewhat of a gamer. Now, if you recall, the Cubs were really good in April last year, terrible in May and June. That's like hovering in the back of my head every time I want to celebrate this team. But this team, they are tough outs, almost 1 through 9. The two tough outs or the two easier outs have been the young guys in PCA, although he's swinging to pitches in the zone. And then Matt Shaw at times looks to be struggling as he is as a true rookie. But you have to really like the way that this team plays. So not are you getting, I think, they're leading baseball in runs, hits, walks, and steals. They're virtually the best offense in baseball. But what we're really watching is we're watching why you pay a star. We're watching why Cubs fans are so frustrated and angered by Tom Ricketts not being more willing to go out and spend the big bucks, right? What we're watching right now isn't just about Kyle Tucker. It's about what happens when you have blue chip players. Rising tides raise all ships, right? So it matters who's hitting in front of Kyle Tucker. Ian Happ is going to see vastly better pitches if he's one and Kyle Tucker's hitting two. Seiya Suzuki is going to see a lot more guys working out of the stretch because Tucker is on base more. We are watching ultimately, and then when you're in a tight ball game and Tucker hits a three-run home run, it drastically changes what the game looks like. So making the case for why you would spend money on talent instead of just trying to get a bunch of very good guys, it can make those very good guys part of a great team, which offensively the Cubs have been. And so we've been asking you, 312-644-6767, text the show. Can you come up with a contract that you think Kyle Tucker would have to legitimately consider? He and his brain trust, the Excel management group, is there a contract that you think he would consider and that would be a good deal for the Cubs? Let's go back to this Lance Brozdowski audio. I love it so much. The Cubs Daily Podcast, Lance with Marquis, does a great job. He got answers, this man. He's like that tough reporter journalist that's knocking at the door of the potential murderer, and he's asking the hard-hitting questions. This is what Lance said.
I actually spoke to somebody today at Excel Sports Management, which is Tucker's agency, and I made them give me an estimate for Tucker's eventual contract, whether it be in free agency or an in-season extension. And the number they gave was 10 years, $475 million. Sure, it's a biased source within his agency. Of course, they're going to promote him, absolutely. But I thought it was actually somewhat reasonable. And I think it's a good over-under for what he eventually will receive. Now, when you get three or four other big market teams in there, which I think Excel would be very inclined to do instead of letting the Cubs bid against themselves with an extension, that number could obviously move up. But I think that kind of money is what Tom Ricketts and the Cubs front office should be thinking about if they want to compete with the other large market teams on Kyle Tucker.
I mean, here is Lance. If you met Lance for 5 minutes, you'd be like, yeah, no problem. You can babysit my kids. I absolutely trust you. But here's Lance being like, I made them give me a figure.
I actually spoke to somebody today at Excel Sports Management, which is Tucker's agency.
I forced them. I said, you can't see me, but I'm right outside the building.
He made it seem so easy. Gosh, fuck, gave him a call, boom, number.
And they did, which, by the way, it's like, yeah, 10-year, 475. Yeah, that easy.
If I was the agency, I would have put that number way higher. So Lance puts that in the ecosystem. It's like, oh, they want 10,700? That's crazy.
$1 billion. They probably knew Lance being a nice guy. Lance took it and was like, seems fair to me, which is kind of what he said. It does not seem fair to me. It does not. Now, I will come close, right? Let's keep a couple things in mind. When I say AAV, that's basically per year what you're making. All right? So Aaron Judge is making $40 million a year. The nice assistant or secretary that gave Lance a figure bumped that up to $47.5 million a year. Okay, so that's a very high number. But the number that I came away with, which would make Kyle Tucker, who will be 29 next year, the number I came away with is $45 million a year. That is third in all of Major League Baseball. But I'm also, for the Cubs' perspective, I'm recognizing that he's going to be 29 next year. So I set it at 8 years. That would be $360 million. And Kyle, I'm giving him an opt-out after 3 years. You know, when Manny Machado signed that what felt like a monster deal a number of years ago when he went to the Padres, it was a $300 million deal. He had an opt-out after 3 years. They signed an extension. They gave him literally a bigger contract before he got to the opt-out. So that does happen, right? So if Kyle thinks that he's going to blow past 45 mil AAV, I think that that's a legitimate deal you have to consider. Couple things to keep in mind. there is a looming lockout after next season. And they think it could be a lockout because they think there's going to be a real battle for a salary cap. So maybe you try to get in now so a contract would have to be grandfathered in to the quote-unquote salary cap. You've also seen Scott Boras miss on getting big contracts for a number of agents. Not everyone is Juan Soto. Not everyone is Shohei Ohtani. And by the way, not everyone is Vlad Guerrero Jr., who is much younger than Kyle Tucker is. So I say that that would be a deal. I don't know if he would sign it. I definitely don't think Tom Ricketts would pay it. But I think in the if we were to have a fairness debate, that would be a good contract for both sides. 312-644-6767. Coming up, let's stick with that. What would it take to sign Kyle Tucker before he hits the open market? We'll ask MLB Radio's Mike Fair next. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Yeah, I mean, it was what he wanted to do, and I'm sure he loves playing in Toronto and everything, so, you know, that's great for him. But, I mean, everyone's a little different. I mean, right now I'm here to, you know, play this year and play for the Cubs, so I'm excited to get out there and play again tonight and just kind of see where everything goes after that.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was Kyle Tucker thoroughly enjoying getting to answer questions about the Vlad Guerrero Jr. contract. Hey, guests, join us on The Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. A lot of you probably recognize the voice of our next guest, Mike Farron from SiriusXM, MLB Radio, and ESPN as well. Mike, good evening. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. It's my pleasure to be with you. Always good to be on in my hometown.
I bet. So you heard the audio there, Mike. First of all, you and I probably both agree that Kyle's heading directly towards free agency. I think let's allow for a bidding war. But for conversation's sake, I have been working through coming up with a contract that I think the Cubs, that would be a value for them, and one that would make Kyle Tucker and his team consider for a minute. So tell me what you think of an 8-year, $360 million deal, 45 mil AAV. That would only be behind Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani. 8 years because he would be 29 next year. What do you make of that deal?
I think it's, if I were Kyle Tucker's representatives, I'd say, thanks for playing. We have some lovely parting gifts for you. So, I mean, I think, because we've been talking about this too, but less about, what would the Cubs do and more about, okay, what's this going to look like in free agency? Because I think it's older than Guerrero. And one of the things in free agency that teams have gotten really smart about is that they're paying for future production, and the guys that are going to produce the most over the course of that contract are the ones that are the youngest, right? So that's a big reason why, even though Guerrero has been inconsistent, he got that. There were a couple other reasons too. I mean, he is Canadian. The Jays have had trouble signing free agents like that. Players like that just aren't choosing Toronto, right? Like, there's a whole bunch of different reasons for why Guerrero ended up at that number,
right?
But I don't think that's where Tucker's going to end up. That said, I think the jumping off point is probably something closer in years to what Trey Turner got from Philadelphia, which was 11 years. That deal was $300 million. I believe Turner was going into his age 29 season at the time when he signed that. And then you have to figure inflation, because that's an old deal now. And so we've kind of been working with a baseline of around 11 and 400, and it's probably north of that in the end. But that's kind of the number that I would think is about where Tucker will be. Maybe give or take a year, give or take $40 or $50 million. But I think that's about where the number – that to me sounds about right based on where the free agent market has gone.
11 years, 400 mil. Right, that's the number you come away with.
Somewhere between 4 and 450. You know, like it's, listen,
just an easy 50
errors,
mil.
Right? Like, yeah, give or take. Well, but listen, the Guerrero deal, right, nearly fell apart over $50 million over 14 years, which for you and me is a lot of money, right? Like, that's a lot of money, but for these corporations, when you're dealing with these massive billion-dollar businesses, that's like, it's not that bad, right? So I think when you start factoring in, you know, like it's $40 or $50 million over the course of 11 years, it starts to make more sense. It's somewhere between like what, 3.8 and you know, $5 million, let's say, a season, and that's where you get those differences.
Yeah, and Mike, no one in Chicago wants to hear this, because we all want Tom Ricketts to be spending more money, right? I'm not trying to save the man's money at all, but I don't think an 11-year deal for a 29-year-old for that much amount of money, like, you know, because we are emotionally spending currently, because he is white hot. He's a hotter hit in baseball. Every time he hits a home run, my timeline is loaded with extend him, extend him, extend him, extend him. But if you take a step back for a moment and you do recognize who your owner is, do you handcuff yourself by giving a 29-year-old an 11-year deal, right? Like, there's a part of us that needs to not operate in a place of desperation for a star.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I mean, if not now, when, right? Like,
right.
I mean, that's kind of been the story in this. And listen, like, in the end, that front office was right in the way that they handled the contract negotiations with Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez. They were wrong on Schwarber, but like, they were right on a number of those, right? And so, like, you give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt in that. And like, you're talking about an all-round great player who you have in your clubhouse right now. Now, the thing is that you're not going to get a discount once you get to that last year before free agency. I don't think Guerrero gave the Jays a moment of discount, even though that's where he wanted to be. In fact, he literally said yesterday, the advice I got from my dad was take him for every dollar you can. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what it should be in a negotiation, right, from the labor side. And so, I get it, but at the same time, like, okay, let's say they let Kyle Tucker go to free agency and they don't re-sign him. Well, who and when do they replace him with? You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem. And this was part of the issue that the Jays had, is that there's just a scarcity of those players. Tucker's a great player. Like, he's not going to be a 12 war player, which is what he's projecting to right now.
Right.
But he might be a 6 this year, and he might be a 5 war player for a number of years. Those are guys that get MVP votes, go to All-Star games every single year. He's that kind of player. And so if you don't want to wade in that pool, you're not going to get the star. And really, they need a star. They need somebody in that lineup because, like, their farm system is deep, but there's not a guy in that farm system you go, that guy's the superstar. It's not the same as it was a decade ago when they had those guys who were bona fide stars who you could see were going to be stars coming through. They have a lot of really good players that are coming through, but they don't have that guy that's going to carry them.
And, Mike, what I said it in our open. What Kyle Tucker is doing right now is making the case for why you spend the money for the star, right? Yes, we're being sold on Kyle Tucker, but we're also being shown what talent does. Ian Happ is seeing better pitches hitting in front of him. Seiya Suzuki is seeing more guys work out of the stretch hitting behind him. Everyone seems to be, you know, saying I used to have as a ballplayer is like when everyone's hitting, there's a fire at the bat rack. And guys can't wait to get up there and go hit fast stuff. And you feel like Kyle Tucker is showing us why you pay for star, not potential, but star ability, which we're watching currently. Mike Farron, SiriusXM, MLB Radio, and ESPN. So, Mike, you know what? It's funny you mentioned if not him, then who else? Which is another real conversation we have to have, considering that the largest contract that the Cubs have ever signed was Jason Hayward, I think, in 2015, and then right behind him, probably, I think, you know, the AAV may be higher on Dansby Swanson. What about a return of Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great fit just because he is, you know, like, listen, he's still an incredibly productive hitter, and he is, as we know, one of the best teammates and one of the best leaders in the game, so he checks off all those little boxes. You know, he checks a lot of the boxes that their front office was more interested in their ownership was in Alex Bregman for a lot of reasons. Why, right? Like, those are the intangibles. And, by the way, Bregman's made a huge impact already in Boston.
Yes, he has.
In the scene. So like, I mean, you talk to people about what he did. Like, this isn't a total aside, but, like, they have some real star young prospects, right? We've seen Christian Campbell. Roman Anthony's another. Marcelo Mayer may be another one with that. The first road trip that those guys went on, Bregman dressed and went with. The veterans don't take bus trips around Florida, but Bregman did it to go and be with them, right? So, like, that's the kind of guy, and that's the kind of guy Schwarber is. But you know who else really values him? The Phillies. And you know who hasn't had a problem spending on those star players? The Phillies. And so I find it really difficult to believe, even with the Phillies having a roster that's aging and that is going to need some adjustment after this season, that they're going to let that guy go because he's the glue that holds that whole thing together. And he is an incredibly critical piece of it. There's a reason why his teams are always in the playoffs.
Yep.
Like, there's just a reason why. There are only a handful of guys that are like that across baseball. Schwarber is one of them.
Yeah, it would be fascinating, and I'm with you. I think the Phillies probably, you know, do lock him up for longer, but it would be fascinating to see him return to Chicago. It looked like it should also come with, like, a, you know, a slip that said we were wrong, and now we're going to pay for it.
Sorry. Yeah.
Let's go down on the farm for a minute. I help me work through this topic a little bit. I've been thinking a lot about Colson Montgomery with the White Sox. And because this was a guy who played 130 games at AAA last year. He was drafted out of high school, but he was 19 years old. He's 23 now. He's heading into his fifth year in the minors. I should mention that he was scratched from the lineup tonight. I do not have any more. I don't know because the White Sox have a ton of injuries. I don't know if it's, you know, back related or if it's an injury or a call up like Chase Mydroth is on his way up. But at what point do you start to lose the prospect tag a little bit?
I don't think it would be fair to have coming into this season to have lost the prospect tag. Because, again, like, you're talking about a high school guy, right? He's battled some injuries. He hadn't really played a full season until last year. But to your point, the first half of last year, actually the first 4 months, really, were pretty dreadful in AAA. You know, ballpark that's a really good hitter's ballpark, right, in Charlotte. And so, like, that was concerning. But he made some adjustments late in the year. It looked pretty good. He carried it over into the fall. The fall league is ever a great pitcher's environment. Like, it's always good for hitters, but you were encouraged, certainly. And then the spring went just kind of so-so, and since he's gone back to Charlotte, it hasn't gone well. Now, is that because he's been dealing with an nagging injury? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. Like, I saw the same thing that you did.
Yeah.
I feel like if he were coming up, we probably would have heard about that by now, right? That's something that would have happened.
Good point.
Could he have been felt like he was that he was disappointed that he didn't win the shortstop job out of camp, and he's, you know, maybe just down on himself or down on the fact that he's back in Charlotte? Listen, I mean, you played, you know, that he wouldn't be the first guy to have that happen, right? Who's a really good player when they go back to AAA again. So, like, there are a number of factors that could be here. It just hasn't been good, and the swing and miss has been concerning. I don't know what to do. I think the thing is that you just have to let him play it out. You know, it's funny because we were just talking about Tucker, and Tucker didn't have the same struggles, but, you know, he had nearly 1,000 plate appearances in AAA.
Did he?
Before he made it to the big leagues. Yeah. If you go back and look, it was a running joke with us with A.J. Hinch for a long time. Like, how many more plate appearances are you going to get Kyle Tucker? Is he going to get to 1,000? It was like, it was pretty close to that in the end before he finally got his first crack, which didn't go well. So I'm not going to put too much stock in the fact that he's still in AAA. But I do think some of the underlying things are a little bit of a concern. And I do wonder whether or not he is going to be that everyday building block piece, because he hasn't really performed at a high level, you know, consistently. Right. And so I think that's, you know, like, I'm less concerned about, like, the arms in AA. I think those guys are going to be big leaguers, whether Schultz and Hagen Smith are starters or relievers in the end. I think they're going to impact the roster. Kyle Teal is going to play in the big leagues. I'm not as convinced that he's going to be an impact offensive player, but I think he's going to be a tremendous defender, right? Like, I think there are some pieces there that are really good. I love Braden Montgomery. I understand the swing and miss concerns. He's certainly off to a good enough start to open the year. So, like, there are some things that are encouraging there, but like, Montgomery feels like he's the first wave of this rebuild, and I don't know that we can judge him yet, but also it doesn't, like, I'm not feeling great about it right now, and that's an organization that still, even with as much talent as they've added and as much as their farm system has improved, still needs to add a lot more talent.
Yeah. We'll just keep reminding ourselves that Wade Boggs didn't crack into the bigs until he was 25 years old. And then rode that to a Hall of Fame career. Mike, final one for you. Let's hope that Justin Steele is back immediately for the Cubs with the elbow tendonitis, went on the 15-day IL. But if the Cubs were shopping, right, if Jed Hoyer wants to continue to push for this season, trade-wise, who do you think they should have their eyes on?
Oh, man, it's April 10th. I don't know. It's still so early. We were having this conversation off the air the other day about the Orioles, right? Again, Rosenthal wrote a piece about the Orioles, and they need to go and get a starter now. Who are you going to trade for, right? Like, there's just not somebody right now that you know. Like, and Sandy Alcantara is the easy name to throw out there with the Marlins, right? He's under control for another year, former Cy Young Award winner. But we don't know what Sandy is going to be yet. He's thrown, 10 innings since coming back from Tommy John surgery, right? So we don't fully know if he is all the way back. The velocity kind of was variable from start to start in his first two. So I don't have a good answer for you. I think one thing that their rotation really lacks is swing and miss. And that's something that they've tried to build in the bullpen, and I like a few of the relievers that they have. I think they've done a decent job of that. I think if Presley can get it figured back out, I know the fastball probably isn't the same as it was, but
no,
he has two swing and miss breaking balls, and those should still play. But, like, they could use somebody in that rotation who's a go-after-you guy, and I just don't know who's going to be available. Like, if let's say Colorado finally decides, you know what, we probably need to revamp this roster. Like, Herman Marquez is pretty good, you know, like, I would be interested in him. And I think with a little bit different pitching plan, he could get some more swing and miss. But I don't know that that's going to be a guy that's available. You know, we think Alcantara is going to be healthy at the trade deadline, but we don't know for sure. We don't know who's going to be in and out of the race yet. You know, like, let's say San Francisco stumbles, like, would Robbie Ray be a guy that would be interesting? Sure. Like, I think that'd be a guy that would be interesting. But again, we don't know where San Francisco's off to a great start. So I think it's really too early to tell. I think it's one of the spots that they should be looking. I think they could probably look at least, you know, again, it's super early, so I don't know. We don't know if Matt Shaw is going to have an easy path to being a regular or if it's going to be choppy as it is for a lot of young players. I think the jury's still out offensively on Pete Crow Armstrong, although the three-hit game the other night was certainly a good sign. So I think there are some things that they could address. They could try and do something at the top of the rotation for sure. But again, like, it's tough to acquire those guys, and although they have the system to be able to do it because they have a lot of good players, I just don't know who's going to be available yet. It's a much better conversation for June 10th than it is for April 10th.
Well, I said a few minutes ago, you will not hear a single complaint out of me if Craig Counsell just goes Johnny Holstaff when it's under 40 degrees. Right? Like, just run him out there. I mean, again, you probably saw that the Winter Classic at Wrigley was a warmer day than that start that Justin Steele made when he went seven innings, because the problem is you get hot and then you get cold and then you get hot again and then you get cold again and you get real cold. So that's really hard on your best arms. Just go Johnny Holstaff. Mike, you know your baseball. Thanks for all the insight tonight. Much, much appreciated.
Yeah, my pleasure. Take care.
All right, good stuff there from Mike Fair. Mike Farron, SiriusXM, MLB Radio, and ESPN. You want to respond to any of that? Let's do it. Also, there's a stat about Ryan Pressly, the Cubs closer, that gives me legitimate concern. I'll tell you what that is also for the Bulls fans out there. Will Gottlieb, 8 o'clock. The Bulls decided not to tank. Have they began building the future because of it? That's at 8 o'clock. More Cubs coming up next.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, coming up in just about 10 minutes from CHGO, Will Gottlieb does a great job covering the Bulls. We will talk about the play-in game, talk about the, you know, what is the future of Josh Giddey with the Bulls and the contract potential there. Also, the man himself, the legend Chuck Swirsky, will join us coming up at 8:40. Interesting time to be covering the Bulls, to be watching the Bulls, because you do feel like there is... You know, there's like ninth seed intrigue, which is such a weird sentence, but we will unpack a lot of that with Will Gottlieb, who does a really great job. I enjoy his work over at CHGO. We'll talk to him in 10 minutes. The couple stats for you, Cubs related, by the way. Mike Farron was terrific. Check it on the Rewind function on the Odyssey app. A couple things to keep in mind. So, pitching in that 34-degree night for Justin Steele, his fastball, 90.2 miles per hour, that tied him for the lowest mark of his career. And if you say, well, listen, it was 34 degrees with probably the real feels well below that, that shouldn't be that surprising. But his average fastball this year, 90.8 miles per hour, that is a career low mark that's down even relative to his early work in his prior season. So the fastball statistic for Steele was not just down because it was a cold night. All season it's been down. Does that tell us that there's more than tendonitis there? No, not necessarily. It tells us that we need to hope he just gets better rather quickly with the rest. And ultimately, he needed the rest if you're judging it by fastball velocity. Speaking of fastball velocity, you know, sometimes you don't always need to go to Baseball Savant, which I did, and you should always check my information because I feel like I'm back in school being like, God, I just don't get math. But sometimes you can just watch the game. When I watch Ryan Pressly, it's like, I feel like there's a lot of barrels being found. Also, his fastball looks straight to me. So I did go to Baseball Savant, and it tells you that his hard hit percentage, this is the Cubs closer, Ryan Pressly, his hard hit percentage, 57.7%. That's in the bottom 7% of the league. That's bad. His walk percentage is up. His strike percentage is low. That's about the worst combination you can have. Walks guys, gets hit hard, doesn't strike out a lot of guys for your closer. You know, the Cubs were really good in April last year. What changed really was Adbert Alzolay. Also, Craig Counsell continued to run Alzolay out there. I mean, he may have run out there with a gas can with how he was lighting that thing on fire. And then Hector Neris really followed suit. with what we're looking at with Ryan Pressly, average fastball, 93.4 miles per hour, it's the 95-plus range where you see guys, they can miss and still get outs. Pressly, to me, 36 years old, he's getting hit hard, walking guys, not striking out a lot of guys. You feel like there should be some forward thinking with what was happening last year. Like, don't settle into a routine and then watch your routine get smashed like was happening to Adbert Alzolay last year. Somebody go check Baseball Savant. Tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm right. But the way I see it, when I watch the game, it's like, man, it looks like a lot of barrels being found. Almost 60% of the time, it's a hard hit percentage. And that is in the bottom 7% of the league. So before we get too comfortable, you know, with it feels like it's kind of Pearson, Hodge, Pressly. There's obviously some matchups going on in there. But, man, it's like maybe you look at that and say, does Porter Hodge give you a better chance to be a consistent closer, a consistent ninth inning guy? Because my eyes say that's a straight fastball getting hit. And the smart guys over at Baseball Savant say what you're seeing is accurate. Almost 60% hard hit rate. Cubs are really good, right? Like the Cubs, to me, last year it was like, can I get a little more energy? Can I get a little more oomph? There's a quote that I love. Robbie, you're a young guy. Listen to this quote. Motivation follows action, not the other way around. The best analogy is going to the gym. You don't want to go to the gym. You're not into it. You make yourself go, and afterwards you say, that was a tremendous workout. Motivation follows action. So when you watch the Cubs get to second base on what looks like a routine force out, and they beat the throw, and they get motivated, and they get excited, and they score runs because of it, that's them creating motivation, not waiting around for a three-run home run. Like, they kind of grind. They kind of grind. The one thing that can flatten a team that grinds, losing games consistently in the ninth inning. Or giving up, you know, what happened in Arizona where the bullpen just melted down after they gave them a healthy 6-2 lead. Consider that, Craig Counsel. Talking right to
it's
you.
It's good advice, too, because I never want to go to the gym. Literally never. I know I should, but I never do.
Motivation follows action, not the other way around. You're not going to sit around and be like, man, why am I not just naturally filled with motivation? That's not how life works. Take action and the rest will follow. I see that in this Cubs lineup specifically. Did the Bulls' decision to pass on tanking help them build for the future? We'll ask CHEO's Will Gottlieb next.